where we come together and we bring you the hottest stories that Nigeria talked about this year, because we're phenomenal just like that. So there's no table talk today, but we're breaking bigger tables and breaking it together with my colleagues. We call this a round table. Happens sometimes about twice a year, where we look at the biggest issues and we come together and say our thoughts. For once, we have opinions on the show. Good morning, everybody. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Wemimo, and this is a round table. Sheriff is sitting gently like a guest today.
I'm a good people.
He's behaving like a guest today. Chikudi is also here. Chikudi, morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So all of your other favorite OAPs will be joining us shortly in the studio and over Zoom. You can watch us live right now on Facebook and YouTube, 99.3 Nigeria Info. You have us here for how long? Guess what? 3 hours, guys. We're on your radio for 3 hours from 9 to 12. Yeah, so we bring you the biggest stories. And of course, you have a chance to join us and tell us your thoughts about these stories. So I'm going to start with the guys here already. Chikudi, I'm beginning with you. How was this year generally, you know, for you?
Well, I think 2021 was essentially just survive. We tried to adapt to our new life, you know, coming from 2020. And so a lot of the lessons that we learned in 2020, we just tried to imbibe and just move on. I think, you know, at the end of the year, we should just tell each other happy survival, because it's not easy to, you know, adapt to this life and ensure that you are consistent with all of the new way of life. So I think that 2021 has been quite the year. We're glad that we're still here, and hopefully we'll continue to deliver as the number one talk radio station.
We will. We have a mandate to do that. We have the best hands. So, I mean, that's there's nothing short of that. Sheriff!
Why are you calling me like that?
Because you're a guest. That's okay. I'll go on top. Sam, really, how was this year for you?
Quite an eventful year. It's been that type of year that I think we expected it, going by what happened in 2020 should be deleted from global calendar.
So
we didn't expect 2021 to be like fantastic,
yeah,
because a lot of businesses were struggling. People have still not been able to bounce back from what happened in 2020. Many people are still out of job right now. Many businesses are still closed down. So, coupled with inflation, coupled with food inflation, it's just that type of year. I would say let's just move. We'll hope that 2022 will be better. We'll hope that, you know, politically. Because 2022 is looking to me, if you ask me, you know, it's looking like there may not be any significant improvement in 2022. Because if there is instability politically, definitely it will affect a lot of things. 2022 is that year that, you know, politicians pay less attention to policies, more attention to politics. Not to be prophet of doom, but... let's just go.
You don't think 2022 would be any better?
I don't think so.
Well, we'll hear what our audience think about this. So I'm going to open the phone lines to start off. Generally for you, what was 2021 like? Politically, economically, you know, what's the feel that 2021 gave you? Again, 2020 was that year. I mean, I think it's going to be a year nobody would forget in a hurry. Mm-hmm. It was the year of COVID-19, the lockdown. It was the year of NSARS. I mean, it was the year of big move and changes across Nigeria. Work has changed. The way work is done has changed. The way people react to government has also changed. It appears that people have gotten their voices, you know, and there's a lot of challenging status quo going on. Alternatively, nothing is changing in terms of, you know, the politics and the space and the contestants, you know, and the political space entirely. I don't think anything has really moved. So what was 2021 like for you? I'm going to start with you all also. 0700-993-993-993. Female callers, we have a line for you, and that's 0146571190. Let's get started. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Good morning. What's your name?
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you.
Huh?
What happened? Why are you sounding like that?
Yesterday, I was shouting for that place.
You what?
There is honor, come on, yes I did.
The what?
I think he said he lost his voice.
You know, yeah,
singing
then
along to Teresa Onora. Egedege.
Then rest your voice now, Mosu.
Well, Comrade Kumoko will always be Comrade Kumoko.
Yeah, rest your voice, okay? Send us a message on Facebook or YouTube or WhatsApp.
You didn't have to call.
No, you didn't have to.
Just send a message.
In fact, I was actually worried. I thought it was hurt or something. Rest the voice now. Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Mama.
Welcome. Morning. How are you?
My name is Olamide. I'm calling from Bedilasi.
Welcome. What was 2021 like for you?
I thank God for my life, for my family and friends. I thank God for Nigeria and for giving us the information. So that's my opinion. That's my thanks to God.
Thank you. Thank you very much for calling. So it was a fantastic year for us here also, delivering back-to-back the best of news and talk for you. All our shows from morning till... No, there's not from morning to night. All day and all night. That's how we roll. Good morning. Hello.
Madam Wenimo.
Yes, sir.
Adewani.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you. And you?
I'm somewhat excited to have your voice.
Thank you.
Because I so much trust you so much in this Nigeria Info.
Thank
you,
sir. You
handled the show so much.
Thank you, sir.
So, Mr. Sheriff on the studio, good morning also to you.
Good morning to you, too.
And the other colleagues there, good morning to you. My name is Azubi, I'm coming from Lilo Shogun. Coming to the year, how the year has been to me in the economic sector. In the economic sector, the year are so much bad with our economy. The way things is increasing every day by day in Nigeria. It's getting out of hand. So, according to Mr. Sheriff said this morning, I don't see anything change come next year because the same set of people are still out there, except 2023. That's why I can be able to know whether Nigeria will change or not.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Victor is on the line from Oshodi. Morning, Victor.
Hello. Good morning, Wenu.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Chukwu.
Good morning, sir.
My name is Igwe Victor.
Yeah. Yes, welcome, Igwe.
Looking at the way we are going and where we are coming from, I see a very bleak 2022. Because if you're looking at the antecedent of the year 2021, you will begin to feel worried about what 2022 has in store for us. Is it the high rate of inflation? Is it the scarcity of food? People can no longer afford. Is it to refill your gas? Looking at the whole thing, you will begin to fear. You begin to get afraid of what 2022 will hold in stock. Sometimes I begin to think by January, February, when people would have been out of the frenzy of December, you know, people will be involved in so much activities of trending and all that.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, by January, like a fourth week, it will clear everybody that they have spent much.
Thank you very much, Victor. Thank you. Let's keep it short, okay? 60 seconds or less because there's so many people on the line, all right? Please keep it short for me. Kofo is on the line. You're in transit. Good morning, Kofo. Welcome.
Good morning, Wemimo.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
Good morning.
2020, you remember when we were growing up and we used to have 2020 vision? And it
vision
so
2020, that's right.
Yes. And it looked so far away. 2020 came and brought the whole world to a halt.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of us had to do new things, had to... I mean, reshape our lives was reshaping, and we had to find a new square root. So going forward, I believe everybody is saying 2022 does not hold anything. I won't say that we have to keep positive. We have to stay positive, if not for anything, for your own self.
Right.
For myself, for the people around me.
Right.
You just have to keep it up and keep life moving.
Keep the hope alive. That's it for Kofo. Thank you very much. Happiness is on the line. Then I'll come back to my colleagues here. Hello, Happiness. Oh, Happiness is gone off the line. Let's see who's here. Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Lady and wise man in the studio.
Good morning.
I want to just greet all of you. Sheriff, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Chukuri.
Morning, sir.
Welcome to that Wemima studio.
Thank you.
Wemima.
Yes, sir.
May God bless all of you.
Amen. And you too.
I just want to hear the voice of those three wise people in this studio. My name is Prince Wyatt greeting all of you from Amuwadosun.
Thank you.
Good morning. I was more than that.
Thank you very much.
I'm looking with you this morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, let's speak with Glory because she's here already. Sandra is joining us right now, and Ada, I'll speak to them shortly. Good morning, Hello. Glory. Hello, Glory. Good morning.
Good morning, Wemimo.
Good morning to you.
My name is Glory. I'm calling from Ikorodu.
Welcome.
Oh, 2021. Well, I wouldn't be said I'm happy because being a teacher and listening to what is happening to children all around, that is one thing that has bit very hard at me to not even be able to hold myself.
Yeah.
And being killed, and you each day you wake up, you hear certain. So 2021 has not been that year. I find it funny, especially being a teacher.
Yeah, right.
I lost so many children.
Yeah, so sorry about that.
That's my 2021 that I still find it difficult to believe. Mr. Sheriff.
Yes, ma'am. I'm
not Yoruba, but I try to speak your language.
You speak it very well. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Sandra is on the line here, and Ada, if you can hear me. Hello, Sandra. It's Ekwesili. And Ada, blessing. Unmute yourself so we can hear you. Can you ladies hear me? Yes. Okay, I think so. Ada, hello.
Good morning, anymore.
Morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sherry. I'm fine, thank you.
Good morning.
How are you?
That's a lady of the night.
Good morning, everyone.
And that's Sandra is a question. So you guys need to tell us your name so that they'll know who's who. So one is Sandra and the other is Ada.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.
Oh, yeah, now Ada, lady of the night.
Okay, my name is Ada Blessing of the chat station.
Fantastic. Welcome. Naita is also here. She's a Sunday. This is on. Hi, Naita.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Good morning. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, right?
I was looking forward to this conversation.
And here we are. This is a massive table breaker we're bringing up here. So tell me, how was 2021 for you?
Oh, my days. So for me, 2021 was like a continuation of 2020. Because it was like 2020 Pro Max, you know, how you have a phone and it's like an upgraded version. Because, you know, it's almost like we're still dealing with all that happened last year, you know, with the protests, with the increase in food price. You know, everything that we dealt with in 2020 is like a continuation now. And we're still trying pretty much to find a roadmap as to how to deal with all of this. So for me, 2021 is just a continuation and sort of like an acclimatization of all that has happened.
Good. Ada Blessing, I know your mother love conversation, but how was 2021? Is it any different from the kind of talk we had in 2020?
I think I'll just go with what Nate has said. Yeah, it's an upgraded version of what we experienced last year. And to be very honest, I thought 2021 was going to be different, but it came with its own hazard. Yeah. And while we got into the year feeling all optimistic, okay, finally, I think this year is going to provide solutions to the problem. I think it even got worse. Prices of things in the market, got so high. And the whole COVID Pro Max, let me use that word.
Yeah.
With all the terrible things happening online. And I just don't want to be negative, but I think instead of moving forward, yes, we move forward getting into a new year, but the year had a way of just taking us backward, which we never saw coming. And moving forward, I just hope that 2022 is not an upgraded version of 2021, because trust me, it's going to be scary. But yeah, that's the year. But regardless, grateful for life.
Yeah, right. We are, and we're all here. Sandra, I'm coming over to you now. What's your appraisal? How was 2021? I mean, the kind of talk we had this year, the events compared to 2020.
So I will say that as soon as January 3rd hit and Dangote trended online, I knew we're in for a ride this year. I don't know if you remember that story. I don't know if you followed that story. Let's not talk about what the story is.
Oh, come on.
Let's not talk about what the story is. But we know the story. Yeah, but as soon as the new year started with that story, I was like, okay, this year it'd be like, it gets us to go big, you know? So, I mean, there were a few positives. I feel like Nigerians have found their voice. the citizens now. I feel like they've found their voice. I feel like the end of 2020, October 2020, end SARS, I feel like it was a catalyst that reinvigorated Nigerians as far as knowing their rights, as far as speaking about their rights, protesting for their lives. I feel like that reinvigorated people to the point where in 2021 there was a higher drive for accountability from the government. People, any small thing, they don't hit streets for protest. I mean, I did not expect anyone to come back out in February to come and protest for NSAS, and we saw that that happened. I did not expect people to make a lot of noise for October 2020 this year, and we saw how that happened. Like Nigerians put so much pressure on the government, you had the government having to set up judicial panels of inquiry. You had the reports from those panels, you know, shutting the country down for days on end. You have the citizens essentially forcing the governor of the state into, you know, putting together a peace walk and cancelling it. You have citizens in a church booing the number one man in the state. So I feel like 2021 changed the fabric of the citizenry. The buffoonery is still there with the politics and the policy making and the policy somersaulting and all of that. That's still there. But more and more Nigerians seem to be awake. They seem to be angry and they seem to want to do something. I mean, we saw all the young people who contested in Lagos during the local government elections, right? So I feel like something has changed. And in a lot of ways, like everyone said, it's in large part because of 2020. Now, I do hope that we keep that fire alive as we go into 2022, because 2022 is the year of politics. Any policy, anything, like Sheriff said, is done. It's dead. It's gone for. What we're going to see a lot of in 2022 is politicking. So I'm hoping that Nigerians keep that anger alive. I'm hoping that they shine their eye well, tear your eye.
Shine up.
You know, as 2022 comes through the door, and then we walk into 2023. The politics is not new. We had more buildings collapse. We had terrible security situations. Finally, I don't remember because I've been only for 2 weeks, so my work memory is cleared out now.
Could it truly ever clear out? Right? I don't think anyone's hard drive can be wiped out. I mean, the stories are stuck in there. But we're going to take the issues one after the other. Hopefully, others also join us, possibly over Skype or here in the studio. So let's start with one of the biggest and the most recent events, and that's the building collapse. It was a big issue because it was in a prime area, one, where you would naturally not expect such a thing. And it also involved high personalities and individuals. It also taught light to issues around getting approvals, you know, in Lagos for buildings and getting away with stuff like building a high rise and not having insurance, which is against the law. And also the fact that to get to a certain level of stories, you need approval directly from the governor. So, you know, conversations have started. It took weeks to exhume bodies. It was a very sad and traumatic time. Emmanuel Onwuka, excuse me, of the newsroom, was covering that. I felt really sorry for him, you know, because it was quite traumatic.
That's right.
All reporters who covered that incident, staying there day and night and finding bodies. There was a point where they heard people calling for help.
That's right.
Under the rubble.
That's right.
That broke my heart.
Listen, I think we need to appreciate the work of a journalist more. This is what we don't do more. Journalists go through a lot in trying to bring stories to us. They can sleep outside in the cold for nights on the ending. They can have sleepless nights. They can be traumatized. They can go through. When Emmanuel was given that report of hearing, I was like, even me that wasn't there,
Welcome back. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info, and we call this the round table. The table is not actually round, but it's a typical way of saying that we're having the conversations, the biggest ones, looking at everything that happened this year. Sheriff, we're talking about the building collapse and the role that journalists played before that rude interruption.
Yes, before that rude interruption, yeah. It felt strange. to experience that, it. Right?
Yeah.
But the point is, we don't give journalists the accolade they deserve. Instead, we get journalists, we don't have good journalists, we don't have that.
Mm.
Journalists are not doing what they're supposed to do. Investigative journalism. Investigative people should...
You know the one that say that annoys me the most? This thing is happening and nobody's talking about it. Come here. I'm talking about it. What do you mean nobody's talking about it? Sincerely, so as you might know, I have a media hub. I train journalists. Yes. And I brought together some of them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. It was a tough year for journalists.
I can imagine. It
was a tough year.
I won't even doubt it.
It was a tough year. And I mean, for those who even do investigative reporting, it's even worse.
Hmm.
I mean, we heard people shared the deepest experiences they've had, you know, in telling stories. And when the stories are done, the problem for me is what happens afterwards.
What happens?
I'm not sure. Yeah, let's say with the building collapse, Nate.
Right, but first, before I go into that, I personally want to, you know, a big shout out to Emmanuel, because, you know, I double as a corporate communication, you know, officer here and also an on-air personality. But while I'm on my desk and I listen to Emmanuel report those stories, I'm like, wow, he's doing such a good job, and even keeping himself together.
Right.
Because if I was there, I'd probably break
You'd
down and cry,
man,
you know.
I'm telling you.
So big shout out to Emmanuel. But back to the story, I'm a real estate, you know, agent. I do that on the side, and, you know, I'm going to leave the technicalities to the people that handled, and also because, you know, this issue is still being resolved by the panel. But where I want to come from is from the, you know, layman's point of view, where, I mean, it doesn't take rocket science. It's just common sense to know that when you're doing something like this, when you're building something like this, you have to consider your fellow man. For example, if you're given approval to erect a building of 12 stories, why would you want to take it all the way to 25 or 15 or 29? That in itself is putting your brother
That's
and your
right.
sister, you know, in danger. And also, I want to call on, you know, every engineer out there, every architect, every artisan out there, everybody that finds themselves in the construction industry. I think it's about time that we start to do better. We start to do more. When people hire you to construct buildings that you clearly know that it's just against all of your ethical, you know, norms, I think you should actually not take that job. I know times are hard, you need the money, but let's consider ourselves, for goodness sake, because I want to believe that if the engineer that was hired to do that building actually rejected that job because he clearly knows that that's, you know, against all of his professional ethics, we probably would not be talking about this today. And also, I want to use this opportunity to call upon the Standard Organization of Nigeria. I think it's time we begin to look at the materials that we use. It's time we begin to censor these things. It's time we begin to really hold people accountable for what they are doing. So that's Chukwudi,
you go in the communities. I mean, we'll talk about standards. I'm thinking the blocks, the block factories in all the corners of Lagos State, for instance, making the blocks used to make buildings. And I remember having a conversation here to say, although we point fingers at the high-rise buildings, your own buildings,
True.
Who makes them and how are they made?
I think it's essentially actions and consequences. First off, as a people, we need to do away with that mindset of, you know, if it happens, I am not going to be there because I have a divine protection. Yes. I think we need to do away with that. And that prayer point that whenever it happens, you know, let us not be there. Let it happen to our enemy. Or when it is happening in the front, I will be at the back. When it's happening in the back, I will be in front. Or if it is happening everywhere, let me not be there on that day by some stroke of fate. I think if we disabuse our minds of, you know, such thinking, we are going to accept that we are dealing with a very terrible and horrible situation.
Yeah.
Then number two, as a people, we need to tell ourselves that, you know, you are good. You don't expect the next person to also be good.
Naturally,
good. Yes. It's a natural human phenomenon for people to be greedy and also express themselves in a certain way. So we need to ensure that these are laws that are in place, are laws that are practicable and workable. So if people flout these laws, they would get punished for their actions. If they do right, they would get rewarded for their actions. So if we continue with this, now big man, now there it happened. The reason why there's a lot of frenzy about this is because of the highbrow area and the people that are involved.
Mm.
There are different stories from different parts of, you know, Nigeria that have been swept under the carpet. I hope that this will be a turning point because, I mean, NATA is appealing to the Standards Organization of Nigeria. The very essence of that agency is to ensure that people, you know, adopt a particular standard and they are consistent with it. But it would appear like some people just earn salaries and not do their job. This is not a call out though, but I'm just saying that if we have agencies of government, that are supposed to ensure that people comply with certain directives and people don't break the law. We need to begin to punish people for their actions and, most importantly, uphold a particular standard. We need to do away with that mindset of, this is Nigeria. Now, Nigeria now, it happen. If we're going to find ourselves outside the shores of this country and act right, why don't we do the same in our country?
That's a big question there. Sandra, I'm coming over to you. We're still staying with the building collapse. I know you also had conversations around this. You also host a show, Madam Landlord. So I'm sure conversations would have come around, you know, buildings and how much we actually put into the integrity of these buildings.
Yeah, and I mean to continue from where Chukwudi left off, the only reason that that we go abroad and we behave is because there are consequences for our actions. That's the one thing that we are sorely lacking in this country. Like, there are no consequences. Over 150 buildings have collapsed in Lagos, in the last 10 years, and nobody has been prosecuted for those buildings. You take a look at the synagogue building that collapsed.
Yeah.
You take a look at the Lekki Gardens building that collapsed. You take a look at the one that collapsed at Lagos Island. Several, and I'm talking about the ones that collapsed in the space of the last 6 years. So I haven't even gone further back. But you take a look at all of these things. Nobody went to jail. Nobody, punished. Some of them pay a bit of a fine, but the fine doesn't even get to the families.
It goes to the government.
They all essentially get away with it.
Yeah.
And when I say all, I'm talking about the construction engineers, the contractors, the builders, the owners of the building. Everybody essentially gets away with it. My guy, who they go put sugar for a mouth, it goes spit out. If you're the one who is in a country or in a city or in a state where you know that you do something and you will get away with it, last, I will just, you know, give money to a few people and it will die. What's the incentive to do the right thing? You're not going to go and do that abroad because you know that they will get you behind.
Yeah.
But here, you can get away with it. So if you can get away with it, what really is the incentive to do the right thing? So again, the buck stops at the people whose jobs it is to enforce laws. Because human beings all over the world, all over the world, do not want to do the right thing. Nobody wants to do the right thing. There are very few people who just wake up and say, oh, I'm going to do the right thing today. Most people just want to, find, okay, how can I cut this corner? How can I get away with this? How can I do this? That's why people run red lights. That's why people take one way. Because who's going to check me, boo? Who's going to check me? In other countries, there are lots of people that will check them. Here, no one's going to check you. And if you have a little bit of change, even fewer people will check you. So what needs to happen is, as a people, if we want the kind of society that we claim that we do, we need to start demanding for consequences for actions. We need to do away with that mentality of, oh, we're trying to pull him down because he's a good woman. He's a good man. Why are you trying to pull him down? He has begged for forgiveness. She has begged for forgiveness. Forgive them. Nah, forgive and restitute. There has to be consequences. And the only people, unfortunately, right now who have the power, who we as a people have given the power to mete out consequences, is the government.
Yeah.
If the government continues to fail in its duty to ensure that there are consequences for buildings collapsing, people dying, then we're going to be here for a long time.
Unfortunately, it appears that, I mean, like the instances you've cited, the most recent would be the unfortunate school building collapse on the Lagos Island. Students were affected. The Lekki Gardens also, I mean, how that ended.
Even not long after the Ikoyi collapse, there was one at Badagry, I think. A story or so.
And the numbers we have are the documented building collapses.
That's
I'm
right.
sure there are several others that nobody even, you know, mentioned. And like we've all said, the bulk stops on the table of the government.
I would say that, I mean, picking up on where Sandra stopped, I think that everything starts with the government. It starts with regulation. We have made everything about governance, paddy-paddy. So if you've got money and you've got connect, you can go to the government. Things that you're supposed to pass through 15-20 processes. You get to do it at a go. You don't even need to go because you have friends there, friends in high place. And this is one of the consequences of such culture. Mm. That culture needs to stop.
Mm.
People need to separate friendship from work. Yeah. That is what we do best here. We put everything we at risk because of our personal relationship with some people.
Mm.
And that is what we're paying for, sadly.
Unfortunately, most of these decisions are not even made in offices. They're possibly made over drinks in the evening. It's just the way it goes. If you know.
Some is just phone calls. Some
if you
is just
get it,
a phone call.
If you don't get it, forget about it.
Yeah.
Ada.
Okay, yes. So the Ikoyi building was such a tragic incident, if you ask me. And I think that will forever affect the building sector in Nigeria.
Mm.
And this could have been averted if only the responsible government authorities, you know, had done their job with due diligence, accountability, responsibility, and the necessary care required, and strictly adhered to laid down rules and regulations for such high-rise building, just like Nita earlier stated.
Hmm.
Now, if they had so performed, the developer would have had no choice but to comply to the rules. But sadly, we're in a country where people can just cut corners, just like you said, because they know each other, or because they had that agreement over bottles, not at an actual office. And who knows, if they had done the right thing, that might have saved the pathetic loss of innocent lives. Because innocent people were there who only went out to get their daily bread.
Yeah.
But sadly, they got affected. And also the huge investment running into billions, as well as the national embarrassment. Because if you look at it, most countries are now scared of coming to Nigeria to invest.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't even trust us anymore. Mm-hmm. We've lost credibility. Well, Nigeria, first, that country is so insecure. Secondly, they can't even handle projects.
Mm.
They don't even have lights. Like, you need to hear foreigners talk about Nigeria. It's so saddening. Mm-hmm. Now, this clearly shows that the official attitude towards building regulations is still largely incompetent, coupled with compromise and sharp practices on the part of the regulators, which have given room for developers to cut corners with resultant frequent building collapse disasters. Sandra was listing them. It's not just the Ikoyi building. Synagogue was there. And we're not, synagogue is not like a church that has 50 persons capacity.
Yeah.
We're talking about
thousands of people.
Yeah.
I mean, I just
understand. It's so saddening that since the building collapsed here, nothing has been done. Correct me if I am wrong. I've not heard anything. No one has been reprimanded. Does that mean that they don't value lives of people in this country?
Well, that's a big question. And we're going to be talking, sorry to interrupt you. We're also due for a break shortly. I need to jump out again.
Right.
But when we come back, let's talk about the high cost of items, because we all buy things in the market. I just feel gas, and I'm still reeling from the fact that I spent 12,000 naira. I'm not kidding you. Somehow my 12.5 kg and 3 kg backup finished at the same time. I don't know how they used it.
Yeah.
So I paid 12.
Who had the day?
My housekeeper. Somehow I didn't know the gas had finished.
You buy more bread and granola.
My God. 12,000 naira to fill
but
gas.
Guys, have we talked about interest?
Let's go on a break and I'll come to you, Daddy Freeze. I see you here. We'll be right back. This is the round table. Don't go away. Welcome back. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is the round table. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. I have my colleagues here. And we're taking a look at the biggest issues across Nigeria this year. We also have some of your favorites in the studio and over Zoom. You can join us over Facebook and YouTube where we're streaming live. And that's Nigeria Info 99.3. You can also leave us your thoughts about the conversation over there. We'd open the phone line subsequently. But chill first. You've been talking all year. It's our turn to... let me put on your microphones.
I swear.
Yeah, like they've been talking all year. Let us talk, huh? Let's talk. That will come to you, okay, also in a bit. All right, Daddy Freeze has joined us. Ada is also here, as well as Sandra over Skype. Now, we started off talking about the high cost of items in Nigeria. That one is really... oh, my goodness. I said I just fueled gas. So I hear the gas is now 800 naira per kg.
Okay.
So while I was still haggling with the guy, I was actually telling me, I've actually reduced money for you. Because if you calculate 800 naira per kg to 12.5, I mean, that's quite some discount.
Yeah.
So add on to that high cost of apartments in Lagos. This is the end of the year. People are moving houses. Houses are...
People are already thinking of how to pay their bills, their house rent.
Mm-hmm. You know, and possibly your...
I always think of that.
Oh, is that someone who doesn't
think of it? Let me tell you something. In Lagos, the day you pay your rent, that's the very day you start to think of your next rent.
Some people don't think like that. They wait until this.
Wow.
That's a wow level. Daddy Freeze, welcome. How are you? Are you there?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you.
Awesome stuff. First of all, things are really expensive in the market, and I don't know how we're going to cope this Christmas. I think we need to clean this Christmas up a little. That whole dirty December, we need to put it aside this year, because it's not going to work. My problem with Christmas is it's a very intense 2-week holiday that leaves you slapped with reality on the 2nd of January.
Yeah.
Hi.
Because you don't even have a week to get over your hangover.
Yeah.
You literally have to go back to work on the 2nd.
Yeah.
And it's not like you even get a break between the 24th and the 2nd. You get a small break for Christmas and another small break for New Year.
Yeah.
So it is so intense, and before you know it, boom.
Yeah, you're supposed to leave as if nothing happened. I remember January has 72 weeks.
Oh, yes. So
we need to
talk to one another. We need to tell ourselves to calm down, especially in the light of what's going on in the nation. I also heard you guys talking about the collapsed building.
Yeah.
And I must say that, in my humble opinion, I believe that there are some greater powers with vested interests. That is why they will make noise, and after a while it would die down. If this 21-story Ikoyi building has a different fate, I'll be alarmed. I can literally put down a cash wager with any of you who wants to bet. Let's put something small, maybe 10K, that within 2 years, they will not be talking about this thing again.
I think 2 years is even very far. Give it a few months. I mean, the most I expect we would have is a committee set up to look into it. Committee writes a white paper.
There's already an inquiry panel, you know, looking into it.
Yeah, but we need something more than that. I mean, there's another panel is made up of experts, you know, town planners and this and that. But
I was listening to Kemiolu Lawyer speak. She said that they're not even going to pull the other two buildings. In my humble opinion, that is dangerous.
Yeah, well, if integrity test is done on them and they're okay, I mean, I'm not certainly about pulling them down. But let me...
What happened to the Lagos law? Hold on. What happened to the Lagos law that if your building collapses, they seize a certain amount of property within that area? There actually is a Lagos law to that effect. Realtors, please bear me witness, and architects and builders, please. There is a law that if a house collapses some meters from that circumference, is going to be claimed by the government.
Okay. Now I know that the conversations around the building collapse would never go away. And Nigeria Info, you can trust us, we'll be on this one. We will always be on this one. Yes, that's why we're here. All right. Adai, I'm coming over to you now. High cost of items in the market and housing and everything. I mean, tell me something that's not expensive now.
Wemimo, to be very honest, it's crazy talking about this. I think once upon a time I made a topic out of this on my show. I went to get bread, and I went with the mindset that I was going to get bread for 500 naira. I went with my card, I would have been embarrassed. So I got there and decided it was 750. What? Like, how much away from 1,000 naira?
Yeah.
Though I paid for it, but I got back home heartbroken, First, the value of our currency, like gradually 1,000 naira is becoming worthless. And then I was not thinking of the poor people. Not like I am super duper rich, but God being faithful, I could afford a bread that day. I was not thinking of people who actually earn 1,000 or 1,005 daily, because we have people like that.
Yeah.
Laborers. How are they coping. So are you trying to tell me that a grown-up man will go out and work, earn probably $1,500, and then just get a loaf of bread and that's it for the day?
And if he has four children, one loaf of bread with teenagers, what does that do?
I didn't even want to talk about water. Water is now $1,500.
Yeah.
So I was just like, wow, is this where we're headed? Like, what's the future? And sadly, in Nigeria, I've never seen a thing that went up price-wise and then got back to normal. Mm. It's forward ever, backward never. So is this the future for us? It's so sad that, especially for salary earners, most of us or most people, they are stuck with a particular salary for years.
Yeah.
But the prices of things, they don't care about your salary. Things are... prices of things are progressing, where salary stagnant.
Mm.
I just feel I have a lot to say about this, but I'm also being careful about that and salary. Yeah,
I get you, Nata.
I'm so sad because the last time we had the round table, we had this conversation, and you know, I made mention of, you know, the increase in the price of food, you know, is an effect or of the insecurity of the nation, because the farmers are unable to go to the farm. We're not, and it's just sad that we're still having that same conversation.
And it's possibly
today.
Even worse.
You know, nothing has changed. It's probably even getting worse. Mm. For example, 2 derica of beans right now in the market is about 1,100, and that's even dependent on the type of beans you're trying to buy. There's the Oloyin. That's the drum. You know, it's just sad that, you know, months after that conversation, we're still here. God forbid next year we're having the round table, and it's probably worse. It's just sad for me.
Mm-hmm. Ahoho has joined us. Ahoho Obo is here. Ahoho, welcome. How are you? You have to unmute yourself. Can you hear me?
All right. I hear you clearly.
Okay, welcome.
Shaku Maku.
Makushi. welcome. That's the sign in for Aho, anytime, any day. Let me take you on to another topic, because a lot of things happened this year. High cost of prices is just one. Electricity has gone off. Right now you recharge. I don't know what you even get in return, you know. One of the recent cases we also had is unearthing issues around Nigerians imprisoned in other countries. It's a news case came to the fore, Cote d'Ivoire. As you know, we of course followed up that story. So let me ask you, what has changed? This is one of the tiring things for me being on radio, is that you talk about the same things over and over and over, and you begin to almost sound like a broken record.
It can be really, really exhausting.
Yeah. It's mentally draining. Yeah. It's depressing to even put it that way. That it appears that nothing changes, you know. Unfortunately,
worse.
Itunu died, 23-year-old lady, imprisoned unjustly. Nigeria couldn't get her out, and she's dead.
Absolutely. And it begs the question about Nigeria's foreign policy and its diplomacy. I remember when President Buhari came in, there was a lot of talk about reviewing the country's foreign mission, because they thought they had too many and they could do be more efficient if they were less in number. I don't know where that review is today. For many years, I used to cover the foreign desk, so I used to go to a lot of these African countries and meet with a number of ambassadors or head of missions. And they also were going through difficulties. I remember the ambassador of Nigeria to Burundi then telling me that when they had problem and they were close to a civil war then, he had written to the Nigerian Ministry of Foreign Affairs saying, what do? My family is here, we have to move them out. They waited for months, they couldn't even get them out of there. Mm-hmm. They had to get money together, that's for the staff, to get their children, to get their wives out of a country which was supposed to be heading into a conflict. So the question is about Nigerians who are even in those missions there, they're not properly equipped.
Yeah.
Every time they're always playing catch up. So if the embassy staff cannot even protect themselves, the question will be, will it be for the millions of Nigerians who are in diaspora to depend them?
Hmm.
You know, they can't pay their bills. So many, it's a very ugly situation, but you expect more. Cote d'Ivoire is just in West Africa here. I mean, if we can't do a good job outside Africa, we should be able to do a better job within the sub-region. So really sad unfortunately.
Highly unfortunate indeed. I mean, like you've highlighted, you remember Nigeria closed down quite a number of missions in the past few years because of funding. We couldn't fund them anymore. So we had the Tunu case also brought to fore the issues around renewing your passport when you're in diaspora, you know, and the high-handedness and the corruption, you know, by the
embassy staff, officials.
Embassy officials.
Right.
You know, but again, if the embassies are not well-funded, it might just tell you that there will be corruption because they need to survive in another country. And it might also mean that the government that is not funding them would not ask them questions about how they're surviving.
I remember having a show at 5 a.m. and I could recall pretty much Nigerians in diaspora complaining bitterly about operations of Nigerian embassy officials abroad. How bribe-seeking most of them have become, how nothing has changed really, how the attitude of Nigerians in Nigeria have been transferred to our embassy, which is an equivalent of Nigeria in those countries, you know, have become like everything that you need done, even when you need protection of the embassy. Nothing. You don't get anything. You're just on your own.
You remember the head of the immigration who went undercover to the
exactly
and until he got into the head of the Ikoyi passport office to sit there, and the man said, "Oga, what are you doing here?" And he said, "I came to get passport." He could buy Nigerian citizenship for 3,500 naira or 5,000 naira.
Quite unfortunate.
That's the head of the country's immigration. Mm. So you see the problem we're facing. And the second problem you even highlight, you know, we're just talking about this, which I'm sure will come up also too. Nigeria, United Arab Emirates face-off over...
That's right. In fact, that's where I'm going next. You have brought us to that junction.
And someone brought to my attention that Nigeria signed over 93 BASA, which is bilateral air service agreement, with countries they have no idea with what is happening. In fact, with their research, one in three of those bilateral air service agreements isn't working.
Yeah.
So we've entered into deals, we've entered into agreements with the devil, and unfortunately, we don't even have the fork to dine with.
Looks like we just signed agreement. I mean, I'm glad you brought it here. I was going to just
follow up and take fine pictures
and post them. Our president was recently in Dubai.
They get money for it also. They get the cut of it also too.
They call that what do they call that thing again? That's money they give you for mobilization when you're traveling. Yeah. You know,
Esther code.
Our president was recently in Dubai, so I'm practically shocked. You know, these bars and the bulls, you know, coming along with the Omicron variant, that people have begun to say that there appears to be a demonizing of Africa going on. Like, once you hear one case from Africa, ban them from traveling here and there. Nigeria took a step. I think by tomorrow, we might just be placing bans on Canada, the UK, you know, and
Saudi Arabia,
Argentina.
Where will divine inspiration come from if we cannot travel to Saudi Arabia for special prayers?
And just in case,
headache, the president, will he be able to go to the United Kingdom? I just said to just, you know, tongue in cheek.
No, Chukwudi.
Truth is, it's about value. And it's really very...
Off your mic.
Honorable Minister.
It is really very unfortunate, all that we have to deal with. Mm. And if you listen to people share their thoughts with respect to Itunu and everything that is going on, many people come from the position of, those of us even in Nigeria self, you know, there's no premium on our lives, no value whatsoever. You're not talking of somebody who is outside the shores of the country. I think it's really very important that, you know, we look inwards first and tell ourselves that as a people, we need to do more. First, as a people, we must hold our elected representatives accountable. All these excuses that we make for them, people quickly say, if not you, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
or if you find yourself in the position, that's who we are. No, it's not true. We have seen Nigerians excel in government outside the shores of this country.
Absolutely.
You know, and we are proud of them. Abike Dabiri is quick to mention this person, mention that person. If she even has the opportunity, she will travel and take good pictures, and they will flood social media with them. Now, if we are quick to identify with these people who are Nigerians like us, maybe they cannot even pronounce their names the way the local man will pronounce it.
Exactly.
That's the only difference. But you ask, you talk about value, and you wonder what is wrong in our society. And I think it's because we keep making excuses. This Nigerianness, Nigeria, I have a friend who is Namibian, who every time we go at each other, he'll tell me, in your country, you know, the police don't even have what they do. They write, "Do not urinate here, order by police." And I tell him no now. Oh that God. he showed me the sign. Oh, he showed me the sign. You know, as a lover of Nigeria, I'll tell him the person just wrote it. So he says that then as a people, if the only way you're not going to commit a crime or act in a certain way is when they put order by police, then it means that the police don't know what they are doing. So I just said to point this out so that we get our priorities right. And if we get our priorities right, only then we will begin to work in the best interest of Nigeria.
I mean, I cannot disagree with you. I'd like to take some comments off our social media pages. I can't take calls right now. When we come back from this break, I'll be able to take the calls. We're live on Facebook and YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. If you're there, say hello. Your faves are here. Again, the microphone is ours today. We'll just borrow you at a point. This is the roundtable. I'm on YouTube now. I'm going to take a few comments now. Femi Idowu Adegoke Drifa says, Chukwudi, thank you. Tolulope Emiola, I haven't heard Joyce. Yes, we hope she'll join us shortly. Femi again says, Nigeria Info is the voice of Nigerians speaking loud and clear on issues affecting everyday life of Nigerians. Thank you so much for what you do. Thank you. Adebi Yoluwa Tobiloba, to have food available at affordable prices even next year, we have to be intentional, considering that a lot of farmers were unable to farm due to security issues. Shemade is in awe of Chukwudi. Hey, Mr. Chukwudi of Wazobia. Okay, no, he's no longer of Wazobia. He's now of Nigeria Info, okay? Yeah. Sunday Eze, the house. Who are you asking of? Mr. Disu. Oh, he has a flu, has a cold. Okay, Onyeye Onwama Yeyi says, in 2021, my greatest joy is discovering Nigeria Info with the likes of Sheriff Chukwudi, Adafriz, and everybody. Thank you very much. I'm hopping over to Facebook. Let's see if I can make this happen. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. Oh, no, don't do this to me. It is doing this to me.
Sorry.
It has decided to do this to me.
Sorry.
Is discovering Nigeria. Stop. Okay, I need to get this muted somewhere. All right, while I sort this out, I'm coming over to you, Sandra. You've been quiet for a while. Where's that thing now? Sandra, we're still staying with Nigeria's relations with other countries, both African and non-African. I mean, what's your thought about this? Sandra?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
I think what's very evident with our bilateral relationships is that there's more of a reactive approach than a proactive one. And I guess that's the essential philosophy of governance in Nigeria. There doesn't seem to be a lot of proactivity. There's a lot of talk about proactivity, but there's not a lot of action heading towards proactivity. And so that is also evident in our bilateral relationships. So that's what you find happening when something happens. We now start to look around like, no, that's not what we mean. So we just start to chase the fires and try to put the fires off, when essentially we could have ensured that the fire did not start to begin with.
Yeah.
So I think our Foreign Affairs Ministry needs to, number one, make up its mind what our foreign policy is. Number two, do better work at communicating that foreign policy so that it's something that everyone is on board with. Like, you look at countries like South Africa, like Ghana, you look at, and I'm starting with African countries because I don't want to go abroad, because when you go abroad, you say, that one is abroad now. But you look at African countries, South Africa, Rwanda, Ghana, they seem to have a firmer grip on what their foreign relations should look like. Even countries like Ethiopia, with the madness that Abiy Ahmed is doing at the moment, they seem to also have like a general idea of where they're headed foreign policy wise. Nigeria's own is, don't interfere, sovereignty, but that's about it. You know, there's not really a lot of, okay, well, what does it mean to be a Nigerian citizen abroad? Yeah. Which is why you have cases of Nigerian citizens getting arrested, languishing in different jails, getting killed. And, you know, we don't know until we know. And then by the time we know, we're now trying to, you know, either shut the news story down or, you know, shut down the outrage, et cetera, et cetera. So you find the same philosophy everywhere else, as far as governance in Nigeria is concerned, also reflected in our bilateral relations, in our foreign relations.
I agree. I mean, the only thing that's clear about Nigeria's foreign policy is that it is Afrocentric. That's the only thing that's very clear. And what that means is let them do, well, I mean, we would never fight with any African country, but I'm not sure that it is reciprocated. Other countries don't hold us as highly as we appear to hold them. I'm on Facebook now. Fatoki Samson says, while brooding over the challenges of the past year, I see a light at the end of the tunnel for Nigeria. Amen to that. Amen to that. Emeka Nwoye, good morning, House. I wouldn't say 2021 is that fantastic, but we thank God that we survived it. We hope we keep the hope alive and believe for the best. Thank you. John Edit, it's funny how Chukwudi's voice doesn't match his looks. What do you mean? His voice matches. What are you talking about?
You people know him.
He said that he looks more handsome than his voice.
Wow. I'll take the compliment.
Wow.
Yeah, people.
Robert OKK says, good morning, the Nigeria Info crew. Welcome to the Semi Annual Talk. Thank you. Says, well done so far for information dissemination to the public. 2022 is not going to be different from the previous years, especially because it's a campaigning year. Bolan Wakimbami, high velvet voice, Wemimo Eshegon. Thank you. Olawale Olaoluwa, Sandra Mama Kayode. Kayode. Okay, we're due for a break again. When we come back, we'll talk some more. Don't go away. This is a roundtable. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. Stay here.